TV.
And we are back, and you're with us. So there must be something about this show that you like. You're back. I think the people who love it, who hate us, watch us more than the people who love us. I'm not sure. But welcome to the show. And really, what I'm trying to do, what we're trying to do, is help you understand your suffering and help you understand that God makes up to us. What's that verse in the Old Testament, young Terrence? This is young Terrence, by the way, again. I think I'm going to talk him into one more day. That the God will make up for the years that the locusts ate and the worm ate. Isn't that an Old Testament? Isn't that in the law?
Well, if you read it, the whole Old Testament, you'll find it eventually is yours.
Oh, thank you. That's my line. You stole that from me, and I stole it from somebody else. That's okay. The whole point is what you said yesterday, which was so important, that God makes it up to us. There's one word. What am I looking for? God compensates.
Yeah.
And, of course, it is God's principle all along to compensate. And he doesn't have to do it, but he does. So our goal, my goal is really, is not to understand some scriptural principle or some doctrine, memorize a doctrine. It's to help you understand why you're going through things, why you have trials, and it's not all in vain. And if anyone's inclined to compete together in the evangelium. And I think this is an important point too. And this is maybe the negative aspect of it. But I noticed there are some people who, no matter how much we try to explain this principle of wages for works, some people are so confused, they're scrambling, they don't know how to think, they don't know what to do. And to those people, I would say, relax, this is not for you. Paul says this very distinctly in Philippians. I want to get there eventually. Paul says that if you're inclined to, I'm paraphrasing him now. We're going to go to Philippians 4. You know very well where I'm going, Terry. I'm sorry, Philippians 3. If you're inclined to this, if something we have said over the last couple of days lights a fire under you, then this is for you. If you're totally confused, if you're suddenly second-guessing yourself, then relax. You're not meant to understand it. It's not for you, and you are overweening above what your disposition must be. I guess we are heralding a mature disposition that not everyone gets, and not everyone understands. And it's nothing. Don't feel bad about it. For instance, Wild Boar doesn't get it, doesn't want it, and so it's not for him. And I would tell him, stop trying to take it away from us. We're trying to light a fire under you and help you see it and others. But if you don't, which you don't, when a board doesn't see it, then it's not for him. And he should relax. Don't try to take it away from us, but don't try to attain it either. And we're going to go to that verse by the end of the show. There go my notes falling over the ground. I wanted to start this show by apologizing to Lawrence Schuler. Lawrence Schuler, he shared, thanks, Greg's grabbing my notes there. Thanks, Greg. Thank you. Thank you, my humble servant. Lawrence Schuler gave us the analogy of the BBs in the can, and I thought went a little too heavy-handed on him. He's a very sweet guy. I felt so bad about it, in fact, that I contacted him, and he's so mature, and he said, look, I know everything you do was motivated by love, and you always helped me understand things better. So, Lawrence Schuler, thank you for being so understanding. As for our critique of Wild Boar yesterday, some might have been offended by the little video clips we used, but we're just addressing Wild Boar as he names himself. I mean, he named himself Wild Boar. That's his handle. Wild Boar. That's not a compliment. I mean, a wild boar is an uncontrolled gouger, and so we're just, I guess, addressing him or treating him as he wishes to be treated. Okay, we're going to, Terrence, I think we need to make a very important spiritual point that sets the tone for everybody, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to Philippians chapter 3. I want to start there.
Is it 2, the one about... Wherefore also
be. Yes. Yes, it's 9. The principle. And I've said this, but we're going to read it. The principle is the lower you go, the higher you go. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this disposition be in you, which is in Christ Jesus also, who, being inherently in the form of God, deems it not pillaging to be equal with God, nevertheless empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity. This is when our Lord went from being with his Father in the celestial realms in glory, having the form of God, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity. That was lowering enough, but there's more. And being found in fashion as a human, he humbles himself. This is a further lowering. Becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we know what this involved. Suffering, humiliation, endurance. A constant life of suffering and endurance. This is the verse we never get to. We rarely get to. But it's the most important verse in this conversation about reigning, having to do with suffering. Wherefore also God highly exalts him and graces him with a name that is above every name. Wherefore? Here's the principle right here. It starts with Christ. Humbles himself, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? In other words, because of that, a direct result of his endurance, of his suffering, of his humiliation, of his pain, a direct result of that is God highly exalts him. Highly. Key word, highly. Look at that. Wherefore God highly exalts him. And it's this highly that offends a few people. And this is the last day we're going to talk about this, okay? But we need to start with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the principle in, this is the principle in play here. Highly exalted. Was he not exalted before? Did he not have glory before? Yes, but because of what? Because of becoming obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross and all the humiliations involved therein. Because of that. Wherefore, God highly exalts him. There's a principle. It's that simple. Suffering leads to glory.
This exaltation is based upon him being the lowest. Yes. I know that the Tories make much hay of this. They think it really shows that Christ could not have pre-existed. They, I guess, think it's kind of, if he had already had this exaltation, then he's just getting it back, and what's the point? I don't know. They make an argument about it. But this exaltation, the reward is that every knee shall bow and tongue acclaim Jesus as Lord. And that still has not happened even to this day.
Right.
And even during his pre-existence, it didn't happen. You could put it this way. I think this would be reasonably accurate, that when Christ, prior to coming in the likeness of humanity, was above the heavens in the form of God. That's as far as exaltation could go. Mm-hmm. But there's never too much for Christ in God's heart. You know, he gets everything. So the only way Christ could be made even higher is to be made lower.
Yes.
And by being made lower, God is able to push him, I believe, even to a greater place of exaltation.
Yes.
Because now, and
yes,
I would stress this to the Tories, now the reward is exaltation, is the entire universe acclaiming him as Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a king who ruled a kingdom, but the kingdom didn't like him and weren't in subjection to him. And the king decides to live amongst his citizens.
Yes.
And after a while, he goes back and puts on the royal robes. But now, all of his citizens respect him and love him. And now he's they all adore him.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's kind of a rough, bad example. But this is really exciting to see. This is like a snapshot of the consummation.
It is.
And this is the entire universe.
It's a snapshot of the whole principle, and the principle never changes. Even when it's applied to human beings, it doesn't change. It applies to the body of Christ. And we keep talking about Paul, don't we? About Paul getting compensated. For what? for suffering. He said, I am filling up in Christ's stead the sufferings of Christ. So Paul, in his own way, was beaten like Christ was beaten. He was humiliated like Christ was humiliated. He was rejected like Christ was rejected. Paul was. And because of that, Paul becomes the greatest apostle, and the principle remains here. It doesn't stop with Christ. If we are also members of the body of Christ, remember this, we're not separate from Christ. We're members of the body of Christ. So the principle applies to us as well. And no one suffered more in the body of Christ, as far as I know, than the Apostle Paul. And so, when he speaks of this high calling, it is related to, Paul understands this well, suffering. It is related to endurance. And so it should not be any surprise when Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, that if we are enduring, we shall be reigning. That's the issue. That's the principle. It starts with Christ, and we see it also with Joseph. He started in a pit. His brothers threw him in a pit, and he was humiliated, and he was rejected. That's the key there, that he went to Egypt as a slave. That's the main point there. And he was exalted. He ended up being in Egypt, second in command to Pharaoh. And so there we see the principle again, this time with one of us, that Joseph was humiliated and he became second in command, and he reigned, he ruled, because he endured. He never lost the vision that God gave him. And so it's the principle. And Paul passes on that principle to the body of Christ. And this is what shocks people, that now we're applying it to us. We see ourselves as some, we're just commoners. You know, we look ourselves in the mirror. We can't believe we're anything. We can't believe we're members of the body of Christ. And now Zender and young Terrence are telling us that, well, not only are we members of the body of Christ, but there's reigning involved. There's wages involved. There's a wreath of righteousness involved. It can hardly be believed. It can hardly be stomached. And yet, the main point of this show is to show you that the principle begins with Christ, and that he, the lowest becomes the highest. I've said this for years, Terrence. I know I have. People have heard me say it. There's a principle, the lowest become the highest. I never thought I would be saying it to prove to people that there was this, that there's a high calling, and yet here we are.
This is exciting stuff. We shouldn't see it as being negative. We should see it like, you know, there's, I maybe shouldn't put it in such a crass way, but money to be won. Yes. And this could go to that quiet person who's no one has even met, mm-hmm. Who has health problems and can't leave their home, but they pray for the believers. And, you know, these rewards can be handed out to people who were never expected to receive them. And I'm not saying that Wild Boar might not be one of them. I think he, you know, I don't agree with him on this particular issue. I don't know anything about him, but I don't think if he's wrong on this issue, it would, personally, I don't think it would necessarily disqualify him from ruling and reigning with Christ. I just think he's mistaken. But I'm not going to say Wild Boar isn't going to be ruling and reigning with Christ.
Well, I see what you mean.
So the it shouldn't be seen as negative. It's like a bonus. Like, you know, now we're, if you're faithful, you're going to receive even this extra dessert. And I don't see why people are viewing any of this in a negative way. Right. This is like adding on to whatever, adding on to the blessings of Aeonian life.
Yes.
This isn't detracting from it.
Exactly. No, you're right. We should be excited about this. And here's the thing, and Kelly, my sister Kelly, brought this up, and it was a great point. She said, why do we think that, like, in the body of Christ, works is a bad thing? In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we should probably go there. You know, everybody knows where I'm going. Paul talks about works being made ready beforehand, but because we're in an administration of grace, we're so opposed to the word works. We're so opposed to it that some people hate it. And once anybody hears works, they cringe. And especially if they're hearing that works produce wages. Again, people of grace, I'm of grace, I'm appalled. Are you appalled? Then would you like to hear from the apostle of grace? in one of the highest spiritual letters there is. Let's go there, Ephesians 2, verse 10. For his achievement are we. I'm going to start here, but I'm going to go back. His achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works. There it is. His achievement, number one, and we've never said anything about that. We're accused of those of being those who believe that this is our own achievement. We've been accused, we've been blasphemed by Wild Boar and others of being self-righteous people, Terrence and I, self-righteous, boasting of our own accomplishments, saying that we begin in spirit, but we complete in flesh just because we're following Paul's teaching and we're seeing that he doesn't stop. Paul does not stop with Aeonian life. He could, but he doesn't. What does he do now? He says, there's also works, not for salvation. See, but people automatically hear works, they turn it off. Oh my God, Zender's talking about works. Zender's self-righteous. Zender's arrogant bastard. And you know what else? Someone accused us, someone's totally misquoted us as saying that we believe that this endurance and this reigning is for teachers. Nobody ever said that. It has nothing to do with being a teacher. It has nothing to do with any so-called role someone has in the body of Christ. Somebody put those words in our mouth, Linda Morse, not to mention names. Put those words, said that you're saying that teachers are going to be exalted. BS. Where'd you get that? You made it up. You're slandering us. It is suffering and endurance, period. It is, as young Terrence says, the lowest, the person who thinks they're the lowest in their room praying to God, who's not a teacher, not a celebrity in the body of Christ, like Martin Zender, and everybody thinks that's how I see myself, and I parade. Anybody who knows me knows that that's not true, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't even acknowledge this slander, but there it is, but there it is. But like young Terrence says, the quietest person who's a quote-unquote nobody in the body of Christ, Paul says that these are the people who are going to be exalted even higher. I would love to see it. I'd love to see the nobodies, quote unquote. Right, Terrence? The person in the street. Paul says, be disposed to the low. Be disposed to those things which are lowly. Not the things that are exalted. Not the things that... He uses the same principle in 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the body of Christ. Those, and I quote this over and over and over again, and I'll keep doing it. Those parts which we deem to be of lesser value, like the feet, the asshole of the body of Christ, the big toe, the little toe, God gives more exceeding honor. And like young Terrence said, what a great surprise to see these people step up to the dais and be given wreaths. And everybody looks around, where did this person come from? Exactly. And do you think for a second that because I've made 4,000 videos and that I've written 14 books that I'm going to go, hey, what the hell? How come I'm not up there? Oh my God, see, you don't know me. You think you know me, but you don't. You think you know my friend young Terrence. We're teachers in the Word of God because God made us that. So let me continue with this works. Oh, people are gagging already. Martin's teaching works. Slow down. I'm reading the freaking scriptures. Sorry, I got a little excited there. My voice cracked because I was excited.
There was a man that said basically, just read, what was it, 2 Timothy or was it 1 Timothy? I like the comment. Really, if people maybe just not put as much importance on the comments to the videos and just spend a week just quietly and slowly reading Paul's 13 epistles, 1 Corinthians 3, I don't know. This should be something celebratory.
Yes.
To think that people who have suffered in life and have never been recognized can be recognized by God to and receive wages is actually some. This shouldn't be a downer. The lowest member, I believe, of the body of Christ still has an astounding calling. At that time, when you stand at the dais, you're not going to be jealous of those that receive more wages than yourself. I believe that Paul will be receiving personally more wages than anyone outside of Christ.
And yet no one will be applauding more. No one will be applauding more for the unknown person in the body of Christ stepping forward to get wages than Paul. Because he deemed those that we consider lesser to be of greater honor.
Remember when Christ noticed that woman who gave, was it, to the temple? And Christ told his disciples, you know, she didn't have much.
Yeah.
And that really, really meant something to Christ, just what she did.
Yes.
And he took note of it.
It's a great example.
You'd think God's not going to take note of someone like that in the body of Christ who maybe no one else recognizes. Think about someone who is faithful and isn't recognized by anyone. It could be there's a believer who is in a coma but fully conscious and prays 10 hours a day and has a closer relationship to her Creator. And everyone else thinks that they're just basically a zombie, and she's just delighting in her Creator in a situation you could argue is worse than was worse than Job's.
Yeah.
Do you know how wonderful it's going to be for her to get that applause at the dais and to receive wages? Why is this such a problem to people?
Wherefore God highly exalts her. Wherefore? Because of this hypothetical, beautiful woman that young Terrence is talking about, because of that degree of suffering. Wherefore? God highly exalts her. What's the principle? The lowest become the highest. That's the principle. The lowest get beaten. The lowest get shipwrecked. The lowest end up in comas. The lowest are in their rooms sobbing and weeping, depressed, anxious, thinking they're nobody in this world with a shred of faith. And God sets out work. Sorry. Let's read the verse again. Wherefore? Verse 10, his achievement are we, no matter what station in life you are, we've never said anything different. Being created in Christ Jesus for what? Wouldn't you want to know this? Why are we created in Christ Jesus? For what? For what? To do nothing? Oh, no, now they're telling us we're a bunch of lazy bums. Why is that the knee-jerk reaction of a few people? That if we're exhorting like Paul is exhorting, we're reading the scriptures, and yet the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, we're not good enough, we're lazy bums. Let me read Paul. His achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works, that's the answer. That's the answer. Why are we created? For good works. Works in Ephesians? Yes, works in Ephesians.
That's a good point.
But it starts with his achievement. See, Paul has to start it. His achievement, are we?
Now, I wouldn't say that passage proves. It's a very good point. I think this good works looks ultimately to the point of perfection at the snatching away. I do think everyone who believes there is some change in their lives to some degree, but that doesn't mean that they're going to live faithfully. If that may sound confusing to people, but I do think that a true believer, there has been something that has been changed in them. They have the Spirit of God, but they could still be unrepentant and unfaithful. My mind's gone blank. I think maybe
I was drinking Sprite. And
oh, Jack the Sprite! Daniels. Why didn't you tell me you started with? I would have gotten you some Coke.
Left my brain, so you're going
to... Okay, that's okay. I'm going to finish this verse. For his achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand for us to be walking in them, that we should be walking in them. Walking. We're walking. This is the relative viewpoint, the absolute viewpoint and the relative viewpoint in one beautiful verse. His achievement are we, absolute viewpoint. He's doing everything. His achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works, absolute viewpoint, which God makes ready beforehand, absolute viewpoint, that we should be walking in them. Oh, no, relative viewpoint, that we should be walking in them. And there is the purpose. So we cannot choke. And we cannot choke on the term works. It's not the works as James presents works. This is the works according as Paul is presenting works. And I'd like to ask while I bore this. You know, It's the assumption that within the body of Christ, some are given greater measures of faith. Romans 12:3, don't shoot the messenger. And so with that faith, some walk with more works, let's say. Though the same works that I just read about in Ephesians 2, don't shoot the messenger. And he's offended, and some of you are offended at anyone rising above the top. Let me ask you this. Why aren't you equally as offended that we're in the body of Christ and we were chosen out of the world? If this principle that these people like Wild Boar, if this principle is true, that would automatically make you self-righteous. Why don't they preach that we're in the body of Christ? Why wouldn't we automatically feel self-righteous because we were chosen from among all the people of the world to be in this elite, designated beforehand group called the body of Christ? So I'm saying that principle applies now within the body of Christ. You take the same separation and you're taking people that are out of the body of Christ. Same principle in our Lord's apostles. He 12 disciples, and yet of the 12, he takes three, Peter, James, and John. And he exalts them higher. He gives them special treatment. Peter, above all the others, gives him the keys of the kingdom. Is John and James pissed off? Are they jealous? Are they envious? How come Peter get the keys? They probably were, because they were human. But I see the same thing happening here. How come this person? Oh, how come Martin Zinder gets a show? Or how come young Terrence gets to be on your show? It's just stupid things, okay? Who do these teachers think they are? They think that the teachers. No, it's suffering and enduring.
I got to interrupt you because you've heard
the you?
Time and again when you said, how come Terry Clem be on the show? You know very well that I kind of wish I hadn't been on it once.
I have to drag his ass into the show. Okay, but once he gets here, boom, he shines. But I have to drag him onto the show sometime. That's true.
My plan is when the final show occurs, that'll be it for me. Never again will I do a public video. That's really my commitment.
Don't worry, folks. I won't let that happen. I won't let that happen. We do it. You know, we started this thing on the topic of, I can't even remember now.
Judgment.
What? Judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we got off on this topic. We were discussing among ourselves how this happened.
Well, I was just going to say, I do think personally that everyone who stands at the dais is going to receive some compliment.
Yes. Yes.
It's just going to be it's going to be love all the way through it. It's not.
Dude, that's not your opinion. That's the scripture. Everyone will receive applause.
Yeah, and that's how I see it. I'm aware that, not being a scholar, maybe I'm misunderstanding that passage, but that's how I read it, is that everyone's going to be given applause for something. And I think Clyde mentioned this one time, too. I think that's I don't want to be inaccurate about this, but I think that's Clyde's position, too, is everyone's going to receive some sort of applause. So the dais isn't some dreary, what's the word? It's not something bad that no member, no believer wish they could kind of step away from. It's going to be actually, everyone is going to see it as just a wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful occasion, just the next step in God's purposes. Then we're going to have the mind of Christ. Now we might to a little degree, but we still are sinners. But just remember, at the dais, mm-hmm. you're going to be changed at that point, mm-hmm. like Christ. You'll mm-hmm. be without, I believe, sin mm-hmm. and jealousy. So a person receiving wages, as opposed to someone else maybe not receiving very many wages but still receiving applause, it's not going to be bothersome to any of us,
no,
including those that receive fewer wages, because all is out of God. Paul emphasized this over and over again.
Over and over again.
That's what we have to keep in mind, mm-hmm. is that all is out of God, and he has us where he wants us to be. Those that will be faithful like Timothy, that's where God placed them. He's the subjector. And those like Demas. And I take Wild Boar's argument
I take it respectfully. He thinks he wasn't a believer. Maybe technically, I don't know, maybe technically at this point I couldn't put enough evidence down to prove Demas was a believer, but I definitely have no problem accepting that he was. Mm-hmm. But Demas at the White Throne isn't going to be angry or upset. He's going to celebrate.
You mean Demas at the dais?
Yeah, at the dais. He's going to celebrate all the others who received their wages.
Yeah.
So I know this. I think people are seeing this kind of from the perspective of where we are today, as opposed to where you will be in the future. This shouldn't lower your self-esteem or make you think like you're not outside of God's purpose.
Yeah.
So don't think that we're saying you are. You're not. You're going to be at the dais exactly where God determined you to be.
Yes, and you're saying at that time we'll have the full mind of Christ, and there will be no jealousy, no envy. And if I can lift us up to an exalted, self-righteous place, young Terrence, I think we're anticipating that day now. I mean, God has given us the measure of spirit, the measure of faith. I should say that we anticipate how we're going to feel when we have the full mind of Christ, and I think that's a rare gift. And apparently, other people don't have it. So, am I saying that we have maybe a higher measure of faith than the people who don't see this truth? Damn right. We do. Because I already don't have any jealousy. And like young Terrence says, at the dais, nobody's going to have jealousy. At the dais, nobody's going to have this issue. At the dais, nobody's going to say, it's not fair. Not fair that somebody should be higher than another person. And if you want to talk about self-righteousness, sorry to get another dig in at the end of the video here, but to me, someone like Wild Boar, who insists that everything has to be even, to me, that suggests that Wild Boar is self-righteous because he, in a sense, I don't think he wants anybody to rise above. I think that would offend him if someone receives more applause. And to me, that smacks more of self-righteousness than someone who acknowledges the fact that some have rewards or wreaths or wages that someone else doesn't have and is good with it, fine with it. Doesn't affect my self-righteousness. Doesn't affect my self-worth, I should say. There is no self-righteousness. How can there be when his achievement are we? I'm his achievement. So to those critics of both of us, I'm sorry, this is what bothers me the most. I'll shut up about it after this. I just got to get this out. Our critics who are saying, who are blaspheming us, were calumniating us by saying that we teach salvation by works. Shame on you for calumniating, for blaspheming brethren who have come to you, in my case, for years and years and years, heralding the grace of God. No free will. His achievement are we. I can do nothing of myself. I have no confidence in the flesh. All the classic verses. Unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. And now for some to say, after all of these years of proclaiming the insufficiency of the human and the sufficiency of God, and I don't know anyone on this freaking planet who has taught more against human free will, against human pride, than I have. And that's a boast. And that's an honest boast, and I'll lay claim to that, and God correct me if I'm wrong. To then say, turn around that, and say that I'm teaching salvation by works, that I'm self-righteous. Wild Boar accuses me of self-righteous. Shame on you. You're going to answer for that at the dais of Christ. And it's going to be burned up. I'm telling you. I'm on record as believing the word of God.
Can I insert one thing here?
You can insert more than one thing.
Maybe it might help. The impression might be that Zender is really like one of few people who hold to this viewpoint, and not that it proves his position correct, but this is actually the mainstream standard viewpoint of all of the concordant movement, if you want to call it that, those that proclaim the sovereignty of God and the grace of God and the two gospels and all of that. Nock believed it. That's the viewpoint of the Concordant Publishing Concern. Aaron Welch, I think, wrote an article on it. This is really So just in case there's some people out there thinking that it's just Zender and I and a few others holding to this extreme mm-hmm. belief, it's actually the very opposite. That if you're disagreeing with what we've been saying, you're really the one holding to the extreme
yes.
belief, in the sense that mm-hmm. very few would agree with you. That doesn't mean you're wrong, but it's just a thought, something for you to think about. But
in this case, it does mean they're wrong. I mean, I know what you're saying, the evidence by itself that you're in a small little group of extremists. You're the extremists. We're not the extremists. We're just believing scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And I'm going to end with a hell of a scripture. Been referencing it, been talking about it, now I'm going to go right to it. And you're going to see a word in here that we haven't talked about yet that I got to get in. I'm going to show you what it means in the Greek, and it ends all conversation. To me, it is definitive, and it will put to shame anyone who hasn't seen it yet. But they will only be put to shame for a second, because then they're going to slap their foreheads and say, oh my God, now I get it. I finally get what these guys are saying. I finally understand what Paul's been saying. And I finally see how I've been getting it wrong the whole time. Are you ready for this? It's in Philippians. What a great letter. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Our apostle, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and I quote, toward the goal am I pursuing for the prize of God's calling above, King James says, high calling, in Christ Jesus. Folks, aeonian life, that is, salvation, is not a prize. You don't win aeonian life. As young Terrence has been pointing out, we're not talking about aeonian life. We're not talking about saved from sin and death. Aeonian life is not a goal that we have, that we race toward. Paul is pursuing. And Paul understands that the lower you go, the higher you go. And so this is why he said, I rather boast in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. Why the hell would he do that? And why would he say that the current trials, the trials of this era, the sufferings of the current era, do not deserve the what? The glory about to be revealed. There's the principle. The sufferings and the glory. The sufferings of the current era do not deserve to be compared to the glory. And there it is. He doesn't say specifically in that verse that the more you suffer, the more glory you get. But we already know that's the principle, because we see it first in our Lord. Philippians chapter 2. Let's go on here. Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. What's this? What he just said, racing toward a high. Okay, wild boar is not mature at this point. He may become mature, but at this point he's not mature, because only the mature are disposed, are leaning. To be disposed to something is to lean toward it, to get it, to be inclined toward it. Whoever are mature may be, even those who are mature, some won't be. So there could be, okay, I take it back. I take back. Wild boar could be mature, and it's in the ways of salvation, he is. Wild boar understands perfectly the salvation is of Christ. He's brilliant. He's written some brilliant things about salvation, of being totally of Christ, and he's a champion of no human effort. This is why he gets so bugged. He's really triggered. And I've talked to some of his family members, and I know that he's been through some wild boar. I say this to his credit. He's been through some religious trials where he's had works held up against him, an eternal torment held up against him. And he went through, I don't think I'm saying anything out of turn or unkind, this is only the facts. He's been through terrible religious persecution. And we're talking about people who threatened him with eternal torment. And they said, unless you do this, wild boar, unless you do this and this and this, you're going to go to hell for eternity. And it tormented his soul. And really, I love this guy. You know, as I'm talking, I love wild boar. And I invite him to come down to Florida and sit here where young Terrence is sitting. And I want to talk to him about his history and why just the mention of the word works is a post-traumatic stress trigger for him. It's a trigger. Because it reminds him of the horror of a religious past where religious zealots, demons, in guise of humans, held him over the fires of hell, and my God, he never got over it. And so whenever he hears anything, it smacks of works. It's almost like he just loses his mind and can't think straight anymore. So he might be mature and still not be disposed to what Paul is writing about. Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. And listen to this. This is what I said earlier. And if in anything you are differently disposed, in other words, if you don't understand what Terrence and I have been talking about, young Terrence and I have been talking about for the last 3 days, if anything you are differently disposed, God will reveal to you. This goes back to Romans 12:3. Don't be overweening above what your disposition must be. If you don't understand what we're saying, if you don't want it, then don't go for it. And even some, I'm not saying you're immature. I take that back. What I said about young, not young Terrence, but Wild Boar. He could be very, he is mature in many ways. He might be totally mature, but he's just not disposed to this. And God will reveal it to you. And I believe that as we've been speaking, God is revealing it to people. Oh my God, this ain't for me. Okay, rest in that. Don't condemn us. We won't condemn you. How's that? Here it is. Here's the proof. Here's the killer word. We got to end because my computer's starting to die. Moreover, verse 16. We'll hardly ever go here. Are you ready for this? In what we outstrip others, there's to be a mutual disposition to be observing the elements by the same rule. Outstrip. Greek word thano. P-H-T-H-A-N-O. Outstrip. You know what it means? To move ahead of. Paul is here to claim, moreover, in what we move ahead of others. Paul is here directly saying that some of us will move ahead of others. Paul was aware that he was moving ahead of others. Paul was in the body of Christ along with a guy who was shagging his freaking stepmother. And Paul says, he acknowledged, and anyone with a head on their shoulders would acknowledge, that Paul outstripped, that Paul moved ahead of that guy in spiritual revelation, spiritual maturity, and racing toward a prize. That guy was racing toward, you know, the bedroom of his stepmother. That's what he was racing toward. Paul's racing toward the prize.
It's possible at the very moment, I shouldn't say this maybe, if possible at the very moment that guy was screaming in delight, Paul was screaming in agony. It might be that the very moment he was sleeping with that woman, Paul was being tortured.
Just as a contrast.
I like where your head goes. I'm gonna plug this computer in.
All right.
Do elaborate.
Well, it's just. I think I elaborated well enough. We didn't mention Job, did we?
No. I don't know if we have time to mention Job.
All the price Job paid, you see, in the end. His compensation. There's always, it'd be an interesting study in the scriptures, but time and again, people end up being compensated for what they have to go through.
Did you just say Job?
Job.
Job. Yeah. That's an excellent example. Why didn't we think of that? He was compensated. He got the hell compensated out of him by God. He was compensated. It's a principle all through scripture. Okay, let me get back to this, because we got to end this show someday. We're going on 45 minutes. Moreover, in what we outstrip others. In other words, Paul is stating outright here that some move ahead of others. It's a fact, Bob Bohr. It's a fact. Linda Morse, it's a fact. Aaron Seamster, it's a fact. Volleyball life, whoever else that I can think of on top of my head who is spiritual communism, that everything's got to be equal. In what we outstrip others, there's to be a mutual disposition. In other words, we are those of us who get it, those of us who are racing, those of us who are pursuing. We're not supposed to lord it over others. We're not supposed to say, hey, why aren't you? Just as Paul says in Romans 14, whatever freedom you have in Christ, have it to yourself. If you have a certain freedom in Christ, like to drink or to smoke or whatever personal freedom you have, keep it to yourself. Don't hold in front of other people like, oh, too bad you can't drink this delicious wine. Well, how come you don't drink? How come you don't smoke? You know what I mean? Just as nobody is to do that. Thus also, no one is to take their racing for a prize. No one is to, neither young Terrence, nor myself, nor Greg, nor anyone else who get this, who are disposed to this, we're not to look down on the people who aren't disposed to it. And I'm only arguing with Wild Boar because he's attacking us for being disposed to it. But Paul says this, moreover, and what we outstrip others, there's to be a mutual disposition to be observing the elements by the same rule. The elements, the salvation of all, the sovereignty of God, the two evangels. These are the elements, and we don't forget these things, and we're mutually disposed to everyone else. And Paul, as great as he was, he'd show up at the most ignoble Corinthians house, and he would show up with dinner, and he would sit down, and he put his arm around a guy, and he was mutually disposed. Even though he had a freaking high coin, that guy was pursuing. That guy was the GOAT. He was the Michael Jordan in the body of Christ. He's hitting three-pointers. He's hitting, jumping from the foul line and dunking, this guy, Paul. And yet, great as he is, he's mutually disposed. But the point is, this outstrip, he is admitting that in what we outstrip, we move ahead. Oh, there it is. Move ahead. Some members of the body of Christ are, as I speak, moving ahead. And as I was fixing the computer, did I hear you? No, it was right before I plugged the computer in. You said something great, and I think we should end with this because it was so great. You know, this is where your mind goes, Terrence. You're just like the extreme. You're the extreme. At the moment, Paul was screaming, being scourged by the Romans. This guy shagging. This guy was moaning in pleasure in the bedroom of his stepmother. And these are both guys in the body of Christ. And are we to think, we don't even have to think, because we know that at the dais, there are some works that will be burned up? No, just reading the scriptures. Not going to go there. Don't have time. Forget it. You know the verse. You know the drill. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Read it on your own. And I love that advice that Terrence brought up. Somebody else said, just turn off this computer. Stop watching this show. Read Paul's letters. And you tell me if you see equality anywhere. I think young Terrence said there is a sense in which we're all equal in Christ because we're all members of his body. We have that in common. We're all members of the body of Christ. We're all in Christ. But after that, dude, nothing's equal. Nothing in God's universe is equal. So many variations in the physical creation, spiritual creation. And do I have to go again to 1 Corinthians 15, the sun, the moon, the stars? Stars differ from star in glory. Thus also is the resurrection of the dead. Ooh. Different glories. Fascinating, isn't it? More than fascinating.
What's fascinating is I'm sweating.
You're sweating. I'm sweating.
You're not. Maybe you're so used to
it. I'm used to this. I'm used to it. That's it. So may we keep our sweat to ourselves. We're not imposing our sweat on anyone else. We want you to relax in the Spirit of God. Do not, this is what God has started, I think. Do not be overweening. Do not be overthinking. Not be overdoing what your disposition must be. But according as the faith God gives you, remain in that. But if something we say lights a fire under you, gives it a spark, gives you an expectation that maybe you didn't have before, I'm thrilled about it. And I will be applauding more than anyone to see you, the so-called nobody in the body of Christ, to receive wages that you didn't even know you had coming.